It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. I think I've got everything right today. Oh, I know what I didn't do. I have one. We're on the air. We're definitely on the air. That I got taken care of. Yeah, no, crushed that. Knocked it out of the park. There we go. Now we're ready to do a program on the radio, on YouTube, on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps. We're on the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast feed, yep, which you should be subscribed to. Even if you don't listen to our podcast or any podcast, you should still subscribe to the feed because it makes James and I look, makes me and James look good. Mm-hmm. So please do that. Just the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show available wherever you get your podcast. You know, as I don't typically listen to Cool Cat in the Chatty House at youtube.com/ESPN1320 asked if we're still on Kuminga Watch. Oh, there's what I didn't do. I did not set up my buttons.
Oh, no.
Hang on. Let's re-rack that. 3, 2, and 1. Cool Cat in the Chatty House at youtube.com/ESPN1320 asked, are we still on Kuminga Watch?
Kuminga Watch.
Yeah, we sure are. It's day 39. There's nothing to report. Jonathan Kuminga is exercising, according to photos on the internet. So he's holding a football in one. He's got weights. He's doing jump shots. Just doing his Jonathan Kuminga thing.
Yeah.
So
the grind, the summer grind.
Just dude, yeah, absolutely getting after it.
Yeah.
Is he getting after it in ways that are going to impact a basketball team? No one's sure.
Does he have like the two rope thing that Buddy Hield used to show videos like?
He might. Whoa. Okay. Don't maybe don't do that. No.
Out.
No. They were not out. They were not. That was nuts. He might. He might. He didn't post photos of that. I would imagine. I feel like the what are they called? Combat ropes.
Yeah.
I feel like those are very popular. I think Jonathan Kuminga is doing everything possible to just get in his bag.
I think they're only popular on Instagram videos. I don't think they're popular anywhere else.
Yeah, I know that trainers at the gym I used to go to, salute to 24 Hour Fitness, used to use them with their trainees.
Okay.
But yeah, I've never heard someone attribute their success to combat ropes.
Combat ropes.
Just slamming giant ropes in the ground. It was great. No, I was listening to, I don't typically listen to Joe and Q. That's the program that leads into us on ESPN Radio with Joe Fortenbaugh and Q Myers. And today they were talking about the worst sports franchises to root for.
Oh.
In the context of the Dallas Cowboys and whether it's easy or hard to root for the Dallas Cowboys.
I feel like Dallas Cowboy fans, much like Raider fans, have been brainwashed in some weird way.
Well, first of all, they only brought up NFL teams. Only callers talked about NFL okay. teams, but they said sports franchises.
Mm.
And here in Sacramento, I think there's a lot of people that would argue the Kings are right up there.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of interesting when you talk about being a Cowboys fan and how difficult it is to be a Cowboys fan. So since 2014, so in the last, is that 11 seasons? They've been to the playoffs 6 times, and they've won 12 games, double-digit games in that stretch, 6 times. And it's an interesting thing because I think there are people here in Sacramento who are Kings fans who would be like, I would love that life.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me I can win what the equivalent of 12 games in the NFL?
The Kings have made the playoffs in 1 out of the last 19 seasons.
1 out of the last 19! Like, a Kings fan would kill to go to the playoffs, even if you're losing, even if you're bowing out earlier than you expect.
Mm-hmm.
You're still there.
Yeah.
And that's where people would argue with me, people not in this area, typically in other states, when the whole A's moving saga was going on. And people would complain about being an A's fan. They're like, your team has been to the playoffs this many times. Like, why are you complaining? They build playoff teams. You should be grateful. Da 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 da. It's like, well, yeah, they build playoff teams that haven't won a game past the second round, and I've been alive since 1990, and they've never done it in my lifetime.
Mm.
where they've won a game beyond the second round of the playoffs.
Well, that's tough.
Right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
They got swept in the World Series in October of 90 when I was a baby.
Yeah.
They got swept in the 06 ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've not won a game past the championship series.
That's wild.
Since I've been, like, crazy, right? But there are people who will argue, like, with the Cowboys, well, you've been to the playoffs, so why are you complaining?
Yeah.
And I just think that's a, I couldn't believe, though, that when Joe and Q were talking about, I don't think it was Joe and Q, it was Phil and Host, but when they were talking about hardest sports franchises to root for, to me, maybe it's because of my proximity to Sacramento and my love for this city and how much and how many Kings fans are in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why it comes to mind. But to me, if you're putting the Kings are on the short list of teams that are difficult to root for.
Yeah, they're on a very short list.
Let me say, not difficult to root for, difficult to be a fan of.
Yeah.
The fan experience of being a Kings fan has been really rough.
Yeah, like adding more to the fan base is not easy.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would say, like, one of the biggest things, I've brought this up before, but one of the biggest things I think that has hurt the overall value of the Sacramento Kings is that while they've been awful,
mm-hmm.
the Golden State Warriors have had a historic run where they won 4 championships.
Yep.
So your neighbor just, like, right down the street. Like, so that's why you see a bunch of young kids wearing Steph Curry jerseys in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Because that team's good.
It was the opposite when I was in middle school when the Kings were awesome in the early 2000s.
Mm. Yep.
Almost all my friends that I went to school with, and I'm from the Bay Area, I went to school in the Bay Area, almost all my friends were Kings fans growing up.
Huh.
Yeah, because that was the thing. The Golden State was ass. The yep. Kings were awesome. And that's where people gravitated toward. And I think to your point, the Kings continuing their run of non-playoff appearances as Golden State had this meteoric rise with one of the 10 or 15 best players of all time and the best shooter of all time on their team,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the rise of social media, like that definitely, I think you're right. I definitely think that works as an anchor when it comes to the Kings generating new fans. Or at least it has in the last decade. I anticipate that changing at some point here in the next few years. But it's really, really tough. Even if you're from this area, like, it's just, man, Golden State's in the finals every year.
Oh, yeah.
If you're 12 years old, the Kings are done playing basketball in early April.
Yep.
And then Golden State, which is right down the road.
Yep.
Is playing in April, May, June. Yeah, man.
Ugh. Yeah, you're not even shortlist, you're not even young enough to know that you're like the Kings season ends every year, like right on tax day. Like you have no idea, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, like even, I mean
stuff.
I'm trying to. Maybe the Jets. Are the New York Jets in there?
I don't know. It's probably more like the Lions. I mean, at least the Kings had their run in the early 2000s, but
yeah.
Like that's the thing. Over the last 19 years, I don't know that there's a franchise that has done worse overall.
Than the Lions?
No, than the Kings.
Oh, yeah, it's...
One playoff appearance? No, I mean, you could probably...
Even the Hornets, what are we talking about, since 06? 05, 06, right?
Yeah.
The Hornets have been to the playoffs 3 times since then.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah, Detroit. Detroit had a long stretch where they didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Detroit's a good one.
They've bounced back, but...
But that's just it, is Detroit looks like... Okay, they have a foundation. They're moving... God, they won 14 games 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's not good.
14 and 68 to 44 and 38, a 30 game jump.
Wow.
That's insane. But even Detroit, they went to the playoffs in 18-19, they went to the playoffs in 15-16, granted first round exits in 08-09, they went to the first round conference finals in 07-08 and 06-07 and 05-06 after going to the finals where they lost in 04-05, after going to the finals where they won in 03-04. Like, there's at least, okay, hey, there's this,
yeah.
and there was a lull, they made the playoffs a few times, but now it feels like, okay, they're back. Like, the Pistons have a foundation. That's what makes the Kings' last 2 seasons such a damn bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it felt like, okay, they've gotten to this point that Detroit is at right now, where, okay, they have this foundation. They're going to at least go to the playoffs. They, whether they get to title contention, don't know. It's going to depend, but at least they're kind of here and they're going to be around. And then for them to fall backwards the way they did is like, dog, come on.
Okay, so I want to bring something up that's going to make people out there like throw rocks at me.
Uh-oh. Okay. I don't have any rocks, so you're in the clear there.
You realize that, you know, the Kings had their, like, the Luke Walton era ends and the Mike Brown has, mm-hmm. like, an 18-game improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know who's on the staff in Detroit that just showed a 30-game improvement? Luke Walton.
Oh, come on.
Luke Walton.
Come on. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah.
At least he's not the head coach.
No. No.
God, the Jets haven't been to the playoffs since 2010. Whew. The Jets have finished above 500 once since 2010.
Wow.
That's hard to do in the NFL, man. Like, in the NBA, I get it.
Yeah.
Because in the NBA, it's you have to have a lot of things go right from a player development standpoint, from a free agency standpoint. There's a lot of... In the NFL, I feel like it is so geared toward parity,
mm-hmm.
that it's nigh impossible to have one season out of the last 15 years. They've been above 500 once. And they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings have been above 500 twice in that span.
Yeah.
Made the playoffs once. Yeah. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, but it, like I said, in the NBA, I get, like, okay, you have a couple of top picks, but because it's so star-driven, it's so, like, how good is your top-end talent?
Yeah.
That, man, if you don't fall into that top-end talent, it's going to be really, really tough to string a lot of wins together in multiple years. And in the NFL, it's just like, man, that's such bad team building.
It's wild.
Really bad.
Wild.
Anyways, I couldn't believe in that entire conversation. I was listening for probably 25 minutes and never heard the Sacramento Kings brought up once.
That doesn't make any sense.
As hard as franchises to root for.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it's an argument for the Kings that they're just forgotten about in that conversation because they've been so out of the national spotlight for so long.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the only championship the Kings have is in like 1959. It's that far back.
Wow.
Man. Oh, no, I'm wrong. 1950-51.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the last time they won the finals.
50-51.
Yeah, and they were the Rochester Royals.
That's very Detroit Lions because the Lions are right in that range too of the last time. Yeah, that's a good comp. But again, the Lions, hey, they have a foundation now. Mm-hmm. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil. They have their quarterback, Jared Goff. Sam LaPorta looks good. Jameer Gibbs looks awesome. Like, they have this awesome foundation.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's just really the tough longevity. Like, how do you build something that's sustainable and is something that has eluded the Sacramento Kings for so long?
Yeah.
And having instability in your coaching staff, instability in... You know, even you can say that the one thing that Vivek has done in his tenure, which is now entering year 14, I believe. The 2013 season is when he took over. So, or at least 12, maybe going on 13 years.
I think 14? It's 13.
13.
I think this is year 13 because you count the first year.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, but when you're looking at his tenure, he has stuck with front offices longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coaching carousel.
Right.
I mean, I've covered 10 head coaches in 15 years. And of those head coaches, I think all but two of them are under Vivek. So eight coaches in 13 years. That's a lot.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's impossible. Like you said, it's impossible to build stability that way.
Yeah. There's no continuity from one season to the next.
Yeah.
So tough.
Hey, you'll be shocked to find out the 49ers and Raiders are doing joint practice today, and 49ers rookie defensive lineman CJ West had his knee buckle in one-on-ones and had to walk off the field for further evaluation.
Oh, great.
That's the thing we were talking about yesterday. Like, how do I blame Kyle Shanahan for that?
You can't.
It's just really, really brutal luck. We'll have notes and takeaways from that joint practice down in Nevada today. 49ers Raiders play Saturday. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320 at 12:30. 12:30 p.m. coverage begins 49ers Raiders on Saturday. Okay, so we'll have a schedule release today.
Yep.
For the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
NBA schedule released 12:15, so that'll be during the handoff. We'll have D'Lo and KC in here, and we'll officially be able to talk about the entire schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have some nuggets to share with you about the schedule.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
And I think that there's a we have talked a lot about what are the Kings doing this year in terms of are they going forward? Are they trying to make the playoffs? Are they trying to win as many games as possible? Or is this a development season? Is this a establishing culture, playing your young players and trying to build toward 2026, 2027 and seeing if you can accelerate whatever version of a rebuild you're going to undergo here in the next couple of years? Those are kind of their two paths. And you've talked about how that 35.5 over under may come down to, yeah, hey, when do they pull the plug on this season? If they pull the plug on this season.
Yeah.
I think looking at the schedule, there's a chance that we'll know if they're pulling the plug or going for it, which path they're going to take very, very early in the year. We'll talk about the Kings schedule, what we know about it coming up here in a bit. We'll also have some NFL news and notes. 49ers Raiders joint practice today. And also an NFL conspiracy that I'm very much in on. I'm not a conspiracy guy.
Okay.
But there's something really sketchy going on in the NFL. We'll get to all of that here in the next couple hours. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and this is ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader. Oh, I have to push buttons.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle. That's James. No Joe Brazil today. So I forgot to push a button.
Oh. I'm glad I don't push buttons, Kyle.
Yeah. I do push buttons and I forgot.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're so back. Jesse Tapia will be with us in the second hour. I think Joe is back tomorrow, though.
He is back tomorrow.
I'm not back tomorrow. I'm out of here tomorrow.
You got a little birthday.
Yeah, I got a little birthday tomorrow. 35 big ones.
Mm.
Ah.
Are you feeling it?
Yeah, man. It's...
Yeah.
I was told right before I turned 30 that because I was not freaking out, not panicking, but I don't fear getting older, but I was just like, man, that's wild.
Yeah.
I am 30, and one of my friends is like, dude, your 30s are going to be better than your 20s. And that's so far that's been true.
Yeah.
Because I have a job, didn't have that for the early part of my 20s. Or at least a real job.
Yeah.
I am married now. I own a home now. Like, it's just, the 30s have been dramatically better than my early 20s.
You grew up. You're adulting.
When I was 25, I had just broken up with a long-term girlfriend, and I spent a lot of time, like, drinking Maker's Mark by myself.
Oh.
Like, it was not, the early 20s were a little rough for your boy.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So, 35.
Are we talking with tomorrow. A mixer or just straight?
No, oh, just straight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but maybe a little ice.
Oh.
I go sit on my back porch in Arizona. It'd be 91 degrees outside at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Just have some music on the TV and just...
All right.
Drink it alone.
I drink alone. Oh, man.
Yeah. But yeah, so my buddy Randy, who I actually met down in Arizona, one of my best friends I've ever had,
mm-hmm.
he and his lovely wife, Lindsay, are going to fly up. They're big soccer fans. They travel all over the country going to soccer games. They've not been to a Bay FC game, so they're going to come up. We're going to go to that, eat some good food.
Nice.
Drink some drinks.
Yeah, very cool.
Really excited. Really excited. Should be a fun weekend, and you and Jesse are going to hold it down for me tomorrow, and I appreciate the hell out of it.
Yeah.
My man.
It'll be nice.
Yeah. All right, let's talk King's schedule. So... We have some schedule nuggets for you. The full schedule drops at 12:15. I say we. James has schedule nuggets for you. I'm just here. So James got some schedule nuggets for you.
Yeah, unless these are just fraudulent.
Right.
Yeah.
Which they very well. We have what we believe to be accurate schedule leaks. TBD on the accuracy. So the way, here's what we're
They're
gonna,
100% accurate, but go ahead.
We have some leaks. We have some nuggets of the schedule, and we're going to go through and try and assess what we have, try and piece some things together. And I have what I think is a early season takeaway based on what we have so far. So let's just kind of go through these one by one. And some of these you might know already. At least you should know already. They've been trickling out for the last couple of days. 12:15, by the way, is when the full schedule comes out. That'll be during the handoff, so don't miss that. It's me, James, D-Lo, Casey, and we yap for, 40 minutes, I think? Is that how I'm bound?
Something
20,
like
45
that.
45 to 20. Math time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40-ish minutes. We yap about whatever's going on, and today it'll be the schedule. And any other leaks that come out, we'll have them for you right here on ESPN 1320. Again, this is the Insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James Hamm, let's start at the top of your list of schedule nuggets, even though a couple of these have come out already.
Yeah, our friend Sean Cunningham put this one out first, but we do have it confirmed. The Kings open in Phoenix on October 22nd, first game of the season, against the Suns.
I think, and this is going to be a theme for me, can you do the next one as well?
Yeah, the home opener is October 24th against the Jazz.
So in Phoenix, day off, home against the Jazz.
Yep.
That's a huge opportunity to set an early tone about where the Kings are.
Yeah.
Because I think Phoenix is a team you have to beat. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care that it's the season opener. That is a team that you have to beat this year. You're not going to find a lot of wins, at least I don't think. I don't think you're going to find a lot of wins against the OKCs, against the Houstons, against the I'm trying to think of an East team who's good. Well, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland. Detroit.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like Denver.
There's going to be a lot of tough stretches of this schedule just by nature of the league. So anytime you play, if you're the Kings and you're trying to be in the play-in mix, when you play Phoenix, you have to win that game. When you play Utah, you have to win that game.
Yeah, I agree. These are two. You start the season with what should be a 2-0 start.
Yep.
If you're going to be legitimate, like, because the next like 17 games after this are ridiculous. Like, there are very, very few wins in the month of October and the month of November for the Kings just sitting there on the table.
Right.
So these are two wins that are sitting there for you to go take.
Yep.
And again, Phoenix is in upheaval. Like, they have some talent. For sure, they've still got Devin Booker. They've got Jalen Green, but they also they're a team that's in flux.
Yep, big time.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that traded Kevin Durant, that waived Bradley Beal. This is a team that you need to go and take advantage of.
Yeah,
and the same with Utah. Utah got worse this year.
Yep.
I mean, if you thought that they were bad last year, they went out and like they traded John Collins. Like, they attempted to get worse, and, you know, again, they did not get Cooper Flagg, so now we've got this weird situation where they've got a young player that doesn't even want to be there.
Yeah, and Ace Bailey.
Yeah, and Ace Bailey, and so I'm intrigued to see what the Jazz look like, but again, if you're going to host them home opener, you have to take care of your home court, and that's an easy winnable game.
And it's not to say if they lose one of those two games that the season's over.
Nope.
But anything you can do to avoid from having to climb uphill, because that's what a lot of last season was about. They lost those, what was it, 7 in a row?
Oh.
6, then Doug took over, and then they lost the 7th?
Yeah, they lost to,
the Lakers in Doug's first game.
Yep, they lost to Lakers in Doug's first game, and then they won 7 in a row, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But either way, I'm getting seasons confused here. But they put themselves in an early hole. And they spent the entire season trying to climb out of that hole. And I think any game you lose to Phoenix, to Utah, that means you're going to have to make that up with a win over OKC, Houston. And the fewer of those you can stack up for yourself, the better. So you got to win those two.
Yeah. They lost 5 in a row under Mike Brown to end his tenure. And then the 6th was
that's
the Lakers.
That's right.
In Doug's first game.
And what was their record when Doug took over?
Their record when Doug took over was 13-18.
Yeah. They went to 5 games under and were playing from behind the rest of the year.
And then they got to 20-19 with the win streak. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, again, they floated around the 500 mark for like a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But then fell.
Yep. Yeah. You just don't give yourself a lot of margin for error. What's next?
Yeah, after that, the Kings, I think this is going to be one of the biggest crowds we'll see all year. The next game, October 26th, Sunday, the Kings are going to host LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Los Angeles Lakers.
You know what would be awesome? We were talking about the other day, go see LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't think this is his last year, because I don't think LeBron is going to do anything less than a massive retirement tour.
You're probably right.
I have a hard time believing, and I could be wrong, I'm not in the guy's head, but I have a hard time believing, based on everything we know about LeBron and based on how he's acted for the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I say acted, that sounds derogatory. Based on how he has
presented himself,
moved the last 25 years, I would be shocked if their season ends whenever it ends and he goes, yeah, I think I'm done. Or does some social media post where he just announces his retirement. I think he's going to make sure that everybody knows it's his last year.
Yeah, he wants to do, I'm going to guess he's going to want to do the Kareem thing, where he goes from one stop to the next, and people mm-hmm. give him Harleys, and people give him paintings of himself, and, you know, they give him things that he will not care about, but will accept.
The David Garibaldi LeBron painting is going to be iconic.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be fire. But go see LeBron, especially if A, in case this is his final year, and B, once it is his final year, that ticket is going to be nigh impossible to get your hands on.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if you're like, I don't give a damn about LeBron, I would love to see a Kings-Lakers game where it's not like 60-40 Laker fan.
Yeah.
I would really enjoy that.
Even like the 50-50 crowds, like wherever it's oohs and ahs, some of those games are fun,
mm-hmm.
but I do not like walking into the arena and seeing like a sea of yellow.
It's all the yellows.
Yeah, it's like, a sea of yellow.
Salute to Laker fans that show out. Like, this is not an anti-Laker fan thing. I've just, October 26th, put on your calendar.
Yeah.
Get your tickets now.
That and, you know, shout out to Magic Johnson, who turns 66 today. You know, you will see a bunch of Magic Johnson jerseys in the crowd. You'll see a bunch of, you know, Kareem jerseys in the crowd. Mm-hmm. That's what I do and like about that's Lakers cool. fans, because mm-hmm. it's their way of saying I've been a Lakers fan for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah. And then there's the Austin Reeves jersey.
Yeah, then there's Austin Reeves. Yeah. And you're looking at the Kevin Herter guy like, hey, why are you wearing Austin Reeves jersey?
Like, what are you doing? Just buddy, gotta make a play. All right. So that's the first three games then.
Yeah, the first three games of the season, you got Phoenix, you got Utah, you've got the Lakers. Two of those are at home, one's on the road. And then things start to spiral.
Oh no.
That's from that moment on.
Okay, so I'm gonna go 2-1.
Okay, 2-1.
In those first three.
Yep.
Okay. I've got the Kings at 2-1 right now.
Okay. Then they fly to OKC, and they have a back-to-back OKC on one night. Then they fly to Chicago to play the Bulls the next night.
I've got them in 3-2.
Yeah, you've got to try to beat that Bulls team, because that's the one that like might be winnable, mm-hmm. right? But then the month of November kicks in, and you've got at Milwaukee, you've got at Denver, you've got a game at home against Golden State, but then it's OKC, Minnesota, Denver, Atlanta on the second night of a back-to-back at home, another game against Minnesota, you fly to San Antonio for a game.
Oh my God. Another game, all in a row?
Another game, a game against OKC, one against Memphis, another one at Denver, one at against Minnesota. So I got the first 19 games of the season. The first 19 games of the season, you play OKC three times, you play Denver three times, and you play Minnesota three times. That right there is not good at all.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you're looking at the first 19 games, mm-hmm. and if somehow they were 10-9 coming out of the first 19 games,
you're cooking.
You would be absolutely stunned if they were 10-9.
Yeah.
And that is not to say, like, whether you believe in the Kings or you don't believe in the Kings, the schedule itself is telling you that you're going to have a very, very difficult opening to the season.
Yeah, and that's not even, this isn't even a difficult opening from a, wow, the league really screwed the Kings. It's just like, nah, you have to play all these teams eventually.
Yeah, you have to play, they're all, like, most of them are Western Conference opponents.
So, two things on this. One, this is why, I'll do that second. First thing, maybe it's a silver lining that you're getting OKC early in the year. And,
okay.
And maybe we've talked about this. They might be a team that's because they're so young and they're probably still hungry. They're trying to go, hey, let's get 70. Let's see if we can win 75
yep.
this year. How many can we win? How high can these heights get? Maybe that's how they approach it. Or maybe they approach it like Boston after Boston won the title and they go, we're coasting. Call us in April. We'll figure it out by then, but we're coasting. And maybe you can get one or two of those early OKC games. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Minnesota's still, maybe Milwaukee's still trying to figure it out with Giannis and Miles Turner, and you can steal that one. There's ways that you can steal some W's here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not ready to bet on the Kings being above 500 after November. And that leads me to my second thing.
Yeah.
I think we'll know by the end of November. Is this, and I know that's early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be a competitive team that is trying every night and trying to win 42, 43, 44 games and get into that 8, 9, 10 seed?
Yep.
Or is it time to start giving Nick Clifford a few extra minutes and Maxime Raynaud a few extra minutes and Isaac Jones a few extra minutes? Like, I think we'll know that after November.
Yeah, I think we probably, like, again, I could, and I'm not being negative here. Really, I'm not. Like, I could see 5-14 in the first 19. I could see 6-13, and that's with them getting some wins.
Yeah,
pulling some upsets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at the schedule and you see something like this where you're like, oh, man. Like, it is murder's row. I mean, they finished the month of November with a game against Phoenix, a game against Utah, a game against Memphis. So maybe you're able to get some back and walk out of November somewhere near 500.
Yeah.
But there's also a possibility that you're nowhere near 500. And then you're going through the schedule and trying to find other places where they might be able to get a handful of games. And it's not easy. You know, they do have a stretch in January where like late December, early January, where they don't leave the state of California, but one time they go to Phoenix. But you know, there's even a seven game homestand in January, and it's something like 9 out of 10 at home. Mm-hmm. That's where you might be able to track a little bit,
mm-hmm.
But then you get hit with, you know, your longest road trip of the year, which is that six gamer. That starts in late January and takes you to Cleveland, Detroit, New York, Philly, Boston, and Washington. And I think, again, by that point, Philly might be okay. They might be healthy. They might not. Boston, I think, is going to be a little tough all year. I don't think they're going to have a great season. But you still have got a young and upcoming, Detroit Pistons team. You've got Cleveland, who's one of the best teams in basketball. You've got the Knicks, who are one of the best teams in basketball. That's just a tough stretch. But again, it's one of those stretches where can they go 500 and, you know, hold tight? You know, again, mm-hmm. you got a winnable game against Washington, maybe winnable games against Philly and Boston. You know, again, I'm not going to just write Detroit off and say, hey, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
But there are stretches in the schedule where you might be able to track a little bit.
Sure. And they are, and that's the thing. We're talking about this on August 14th. We're just bigger picture conversation. They went into Detroit on the second night of a back-to-back last year and won.
Yeah.
They went into Boston last year and won against a much better Boston team. Like, this is not to say, wow, they're going to lose all of these games. It's just, this is going to be a very, very, if they're winning some of these games,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be in a really good spot.
Yeah.
Is how I'm looking at this. But on the surface, with where we stand on August 14th, it's like, ooh, it's tough to find a lot of wins in here. What date is that Washington game at the end of that road trip?
That is February 1st.
Right before the trade deadline.
Yeah, you've got a couple of days off. That week is actually really light. So what do we say the trade deadline is this year?
February 5th at noon.
5th, okay, so that's the Friday. The Kings play at Washington. Then they have Monday and Tuesday off. They play They host Memphis at home, and then they have the Thursday off as well. I like that the NBA did that.
Mm-hmm.
I think trade deadline day is a day that, like, you should not have games at all. Because, like, what are you doing? Because some of the teams are
going to... If you send out three dudes in a trade, you're leaving a team super shorthanded.
Or if you have to make two trades in one day, and you send three out in one and two in another, and you're getting back four or five players, mm-hmm. but you're sitting there like, uh-oh, how are we going to field a team tonight? Yeah, that's where I like that they're not doing, like, a scheduling loss. And you might not even get those players back in, you know, whatever players you're trading for
mm-hmm.
in uniform in time for the Friday game, but they play the Clippers in Cleveland. And then finish the pre, you know, all-star break schedule with the Pelicans and the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so there's like a little bit of time to recoup and recover.
Yeah.
And sort of get an identity again. But yeah, the trade deadline could be weird for this team, especially like, look, if somehow you escape November, which I believe, you know, between October and November, we're talking about 22 games. Somehow you escape November at 500.
11-11.
You got a shot.
Yep.
You've got a shot because that is it doesn't get that much more difficult than that.
I think if that's exactly it, and that's why I think by the end of November we'll know what direction this team's taking. We'll continue this conversation. We got a ton more King schedule stuff coming up for you here on the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Okay.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, James over there, I'm Kyle. Hi, everyone. Talking King schedule. I was looking at the Emirates NBA Cup groups, which came out a while ago. I didn't really dig into them. The Kings are in a group with Minnesota, OKC, Phoenix, and Utah. And I think that might be the easiest group in the West, which is insane.
Really?
I think so. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace the Kings with the team I perceive to be the worst in every group.
Okay.
So the other options are Group B, which you would have Memphis, the Lakers, the Clippers, and Dallas. Or Group C, who do I take out of Group C? I'm going to take Portland out of Group C and leave the Spurs in.
Okay.
So you'd have Spurs, Rockets, Warriors, Nuggets. Maybe Group B because the high-end talent isn't the same as Group A, but the low-end talent is much better. Who's the worst team in Group B? The Mavs?
Probably. Give it to me again.
Memphis,
okay.
Dallas, Clippers, Lakers.
Yeah, probably.
And I don't think Dallas is going to be bad.
No.
Like, there's not, to me, at least in the, and we're talking in the Emirates NBA Cup, at least against Utah and Phoenix, you're going, okay, you can chalk those up as wins. Those should be wins. Those are definite, like, if you're writing down wins and losses on the schedule, you're giving yourself a W for those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're doing that with any group in the West, or any team in the West, in Group B. You have Memphis, Dallas, winnable games. Clippers winnable, Lakers winnable, to be sure. But I'm not chalking up like, oh yeah, win. Absolutely.
No.
And same thing in the West. Same thing in Group C. Spurs winnable, Golden State winnable, but I'm not chalking them up as easy Ws.
No.
The same way I would with the Jazz and Phoenix. So I think the Kings have got a good group.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a good group, but there's very little chance of advancing when you've got Minnesota, OKC.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this may be wrong. I might be dramatically underestimating Minnesota, but I put Minnesota in that Clippers-Lakers tier where I'm not counting it as a W, but yeah, you can get Minnesota.
Well, no, I get that, but I could also see Minnesota like jumping up and biting OKC.
Well.
And then next thing you know, they're the group that's perfect coming out of they're the team that's perfect coming out of it.
Is Minnesota the highest variance team in the West this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I put them at a pretty high, I think that they're the fifth seed.
Right.
Yeah, like they're for sure a playoff team. Not a play-in team, that's what I mean.
Yeah, right, top six.
Yeah, well, and even that, I mean, they lost a player.
Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Yeah, but outside of that, they didn't really get battered, and they've got Rob Dillingham that's, you know,
so
developing.
I think that's why it's such high variance for me, because if Rob Dillingham is just awesome, then I think they're okay. But if he's not, I don't know that he helps them very much. And now Nikhil Alexander Walker, one of their primary wing defenders, is gone, and one of their top 3-point shooters is gone.
Yeah, but
now all of a sudden they're like I don't. Maybe they're not the highest variance team because I think their floor is still pretty high.
Yeah, I just think that for some reason we overlook them. I mean, they've made it to the Western Conference Finals back to back seasons.
Yeah,
and Anthony Edwards like has room to grow as a player and get better.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination, yeah. Like if they can keep, you know, Randall playing the right way.
Right.
You know, I think that they can continue to get better and grow. Especially, you know, like getting Dante DiVincenzo, if DiVincenzo comes back to the player he was a year before, I think that you've got, you know, a really, really solid player. I don't hate that team. And I certainly think that they could easily be like a higher seed than the Lakers.
Yeah.
They might be a top 4 seed in the West.
Yeah. OKC. Denver, Houston, and then, yeah, I think it's a toss-up with Clippers, Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the Clippers are a pretty high-variance team, too.
Of course they are, because you're dealing with,
they're
like...
They're the oldest team in the league.
Yeah, by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Golden State might pass them if they get Seth Curry and Al Horford and D'Anthony Melton, but...
You think so?
Yeah, because if you're removing Jonathan Kuminga's 23 out of there...
Yeah.
And dropping in Al Horford's 39. Did I say the Al Horford thing on here with Andres Biedrins?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's the same age as Andres Biedrins. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's insane. But yeah, man, the Clippers are a team that if you said, yeah, they were a top 3 seed in the West, like, wow, okay. Or if you told me the Clippers were the 9 seed, like, oh, okay.
I don't know, like, about
dang,
that.
They had some stuff go wrong.
Okay, so I mean, you got Chris Paul.
Yep.
Who, you know, again, who's walking into the season. He's 40. They added Brook Lopez, who's 37. Like, this is an old team.
They're old as hell.
Yeah, a 36-year-old James Harden.
They brought back Nick Batum, right? Who's 37?
They brought back Nick Batum, who's 38. He'll be 38 in December.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, this is a, you know.
Kawhi's 34?
34, yep. Bogdan is 33.
Man.
Yeah, so that is a very, very seasoned team. I mean, Bradley Beal, we don't even really bring up Bradley Beal. He's 32. So, man. Yeah, that's
he's
tough,
the
man.
Young whippersnapper on that roster.
He is, yeah. I mean, you do 32. Have a couple of... I mean, John Collins is still... You know, he's going to be 28 in September.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... who's the other one? Zubats. Zubats is...
26?
He's 28.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I guess he's been around a while, huh?
Yeah, even Chris Dunn... when did Chris Dunn get 31? That's
crazy.
Yeah,
was he the 15 draft? 2015?
16. He's a fifth overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft. Yeah, but talk about their entire team is nothing but lottery picks.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So we're talking about with the Kings schedule.
Yeah.
Unless you had more on the West stuff.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I just didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah, we're good.
So the thing with the Kings schedule, we're talking about the trade deadline, that February 5th trade deadline, and that Kings long road trip to close out January.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a perfect time because they're in Washington and then they have 2 days off.
Yeah.
I think, well, first of all, I think we'll know long before then whether the Kings are in it or out of it. But, and if they are anywhere close to competitive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you know, fighting for the 8, 9, 10 seeds.
Yeah.
That's what I'm viewing as competitive for them right now, subject to change. But that's what I'm viewing as competitive. If they're in that mix, at the end of January.
Yes.
That's going to make it really, really difficult. If they're, let's say, the 9 seed, but it's one of those things where they're like a half game up on the 10 who's tied with the 11.
Yep.
That's going to be really tough if, hey, you've got this offer for DeMar DeRozan. Or somebody had somebody get hurt really close to the deadline and they're a playoff team. They go, hey, you know what? We need Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
That's going to make it really, really difficult for Sacramento if, all right, they're in the mix. The vets are playing okay. But
yeah,
you can get a first round pick for Zach LaVine.
I'm going to point out too, the problem that you have is you're getting to the trade deadline on the 5th and then you play the Clippers in Cleveland. So tough. And it's a back-to-back at home, Clippers, Cleveland.
Is there an easy stretch on the schedule? Like, is there a stretch?
Yeah, it's right here. That's the problem.
Okay, so this is the stretch of games where we're like, okay, hey, maybe they can win 4, 5, 6 in a row.
Yeah, so the problem is going into the All-Star break, you play the Pelicans and the Jazz.
Okay.
Then you come out of the All-Star break, you've got Orlando at home, you've got the Spurs, you've got Memphis, you've got Houston, you've got Dallas. Like, we can look at those games and objectively say that that's not that difficult of a stretch comparatively to some of the other stretches.
Man.
But then
tough stretch still.
But you open March, you've got the Lakers, you've got Phoenix, you've got the Pelicans, you've got Chicago, you've got a beat up Indiana team followed with a back to back against Charlotte. Again, that's 6-7 games where you can make up some ground. You can make up some ground.
Man.
And then you play the Clippers, but then you have a group against. You've got the Jazz, you've got the Spurs, you've got Philly, you've got Brooklyn, you've got Charlotte. Like, they're right there, you can start clawing right back into it. So I don't know that there's going to be a point where you just wave the white flag. This is such a front-loaded schedule. I'm very, very surprised by how front-loaded this schedule is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that it's really strange. You know, and to get back to, you know, they do have this stretch of home games in early January. Or, you know, this stretch where they really don't travel very far, Boston, Phoenix, at Phoenix. They've got Milwaukee, they've got Dallas, they've got at Golden State. But then, you know, 7 games at home. So Houston, Lakers, Knicks, Wizards, Portland, Miami, Toronto. Like, again, that's a stretch where you might be able to get, you know, in 7 games, if you're going 5-2 or if you're going 4-3, you're still hanging around.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get to that road trip, and the road trip is there are 3 like potentially winnable games on the road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, they're still hanging around. Look at that schedule going into the break. You know, if you can get the 2 games out, if you lose the 2 against, what is it, the Clippers and Cavs back to back, but then you win the 2 against Utah and the Pelicans, maybe I can talk myself into this. The early March schedule isn't that bad. Maybe you can talk yourself into it. So after looking at, unless they are 15 games under 500 when they hit the turn at December 31st, which is possible, but unless they're like 15 games under, you know, if you're 4 games under, 6 games under, like, there are games to pick up, and it's going to be difficult for this team to just throw the flag, throw in the towel and say, hey, let's play the young guys.
Oof. All right. I'm going to just start throwing hypotheticals at you, because that's what we're going to do on August 14th. I can't wait. Somehow Japan is now up 11-0.
Oh.
How did that happen?
My Chechias.
How did that happen?
On, Czech Republic. What's going on, guys?
Yeah. No, Japan is just, they're a powerhouse. They're too much.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw some Kings hypotheticals at you with the schedule. Schedule officially comes out at 12:15 p.m. The schedule is officially released. We'll continue giving any schedule nuggets that we have and assessing what those mean for Sacramento this year. I can't wait to. I'm so excited to get to this. So we're going to get to break. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia going to be with us in the second hour on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.